Okay. A very good afternoon, all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 13th September, 2020, Sunday class. So we'll, as usual, continue with from where we stopped. We were following this book, The Path to Truth, for Modern Day Practitioner. It's a book written by the Abbot of Tzu. Xu Jing Yan, Zheng Yan Fa Shi. Okay, we are at page 166, third paragraph. Third paragraph, The Path to Truth for Modern Day Bodhisattva Practitioner. This one is based on the topic Core Principles and the Bodhisattva Practice of Discipline, or cultivation of morality, discipline. The last condition is selfless giving without expectation. You on back the notes. So you on back the notes so that everybody can follow. Okay. The last condition is selfless giving without expectation. When we give, we do it sincerely to benefit others, and at the same time, we feel grateful. We are grateful to those who work with us, to those who accept our help, and to those who slander us. We must consistently remind ourselves not to blame others. Instead, we must consider any adversity or impediment as an opportunity to learn and increase our wisdom. So this is a very good suggestion. Whatever adversity you confront in life, or obstruction or impediment, you treat it as an opportunity to learn and to increase your wisdom. It will help you a lot. This is not to perceive any life situation with negativity, but to perceive them with wholesomeness so that you can learn, you can develop wisdom out of it. Tzuji volunteers do their best according to their ability, and they give without asking for anything in return. This is selfless giving without expectation, without motive. We mindfully promote the mission of charity or generosity, medicine, education, and humanistic culture, the four pillars. Furthermore, each of these four missions or pillars themselves must abide by the church's mission of humanistic culture in every aspect. In other words, we act with loving kindness, compassion, joy, and selfless giving with sincerity, integrity, trustworthiness, and honesty in our heart. So you can act this way, means you have developed your training or cultivation well. You can have the mind state of an enlightened being. So enlightened being, they have this type of mind state. They always have joy. And their mind states are very beautiful. Then they act with understanding, with loving kindness, leading to compassion. Then they are without the self within, to arise the egoic mind that will make them selfish or ego. So all this makes them beautiful. That's why they use the word selfless giving. And they are very sincere. They have integrity. They are trustworthy and honest in their hearts. So you have this quality, means you have developed your cultivation in the correct way. Means you have progressed well. And most people who finally awaken they will develop this type of mind state and understanding. Today, Tzuchi volunteers are all over the world, no matter how far away. They walk steadfastly down the Bodhisattva path. To be a true Bodhisattva, you must have all those virtues, all those sincerity, all those and love, loving kindness and compassion and understanding. Then you must develop all the good qualities of honesty, sincerity, integrity, and be trustworthy. Then gratitude, contentment, and many other great virtues. Then, according to Tzuchi, today Tzuchi volunteers are all over the world, no matter how far away. They walk steadfastly down the Bodhisattva path. So this Bodhisattva path is very important. If you take the Bodhisattva vow, you will be able to cultivate this Bodhisattva way or path. With the Buddha's spirit and Master's mission in mind. So Master's mission means according to the Tzuchi volunteer and members, they follow their Master's mission. To be a blessing to all of humanity and society and even the environment. So the Buddha spirit is very important, means we uphold the Dhamma. We uphold the noble teachings of the Buddha. Tzuchi's mission are inseparable from the Buddha Dhamma. This is very true. You do with understanding, sincerity, then it is no different. Their mission is to apply the Buddha Dhamma in daily life, to be a blessing to all, to serve humanity. We must be sincere without regrets, upholding integrity in our thought and action without complaint. Be firm and honest in our vows without worry. So you can do up to this level. You are a true Bodhisattva. And be determined in our resolve without expectation. So this one is without the I, the ego. We should devote our life to the four mission to create valuable real life story and spread the great love to the world. So the four great mission or pillar that Tzuchi aim to uphold are charity. Charity is very important. Then education. Then there is this medicine, followed by humanistic culture. So these are the four mission and four very important pillars to help the world to bring about great transformation to our planet's consciousness. That's how when you do all this, it will give rise to real life story and it will help to spread this great love or Ta'ai to the world. This is the best prescription for helping the world and purifying the people's heart. So when we understand all this, we will see the beauty in the Church's work and mission. That's why those who work for Tzuchi or volunteer and help out in Tzuchi, they have joy, they have understanding, then they do it with sincerity, voluntarily, and selflessly. So all these are the great understanding and virtue that they will be able to inculcate within their cultivation and their practice. And all this will bring forth the merits, the wholesomeness, the karmic inheritance that they are able to receive through doing all these beneficial works sincerely, honestly, with integrity, without selfishness, then they have great love, great compassion, and they believe in the Sutta's mission statement, the four great missions of Sutta. To achieve great things, you must promote these four things. That's how they are able to come up with this four mission. They started off through charity. Charity is very important, generosity. Through charity, there is great synergy. You change back to this one. Wait, I asked Jin how to change back. Okay, well, I will explain a bit. So, the first mission or pillar is charity. Through charity, they create great synergy. Means those who are wealthy or have the means and willing to support the poor and help out in relief relief work or charity work to help society, to help people who are afflicted. So all this bring forth the causes and conditions for people who has the money to do this work. That's why they can donate in the form of charity or generosity to help people. But how do they do it? They don't have a means. They don't have a reliable society or organization to do it. So Tsuchi has a network that can do all this, and they are very well trained with the experience that they have gained over the past 30 to 40 years of running that organization. So that synergy brings about those who have the means to donate this money, and through Tsuchi they can get to do all those charity work, relieve suffering, bring about what they call a better life for those people who are affected in need, especially in times of calamity, disaster, even crisis like now, pandemic. Many of these need money, need charity to effect them. Without the support from charity, you practically have no way or means to help people. Even the logistic, the infrastructure, and also whatever things that you need to do, you need support, you need charity. So charity was the first pillar and the first mission, and they have done well. They started from humble beginning, I remember, the bamboo saving of coins in the early days. And then later on, they start to evolve and become more and more organized, more sophisticated when they have more supporters. Then they introduce all this vision and mission and train people. And people who have the faith and the understanding will join them. And when they join them, they see the result. And they also develop the joy and the faith. Then they really, really go all out to do all this work, to relieve suffering, to bring about great synergy and great help to our society, to people who need help. Then the second pillar also very important. It talks about medicine. A lot of people are sick. As they age, they grow old, they get sick. And there are many problems related to health. So medicine is very important. With medicine, you can help people recover, have better health. Then there are those who are poor, who cannot afford. So, 慈济, through their charity organization, they're able to set up a lot of medical organization. I think they have a lot of hospitals, even dialysis center. Then they do a lot of this healthcare type of activity. So all these are very beautiful, very meaningful. Then they actually train more and more people to have the great love to help. Then many professionals like doctors, nurses, the medical frontline, they volunteer to help out in such activity. Then I got a sister, I think one of her daughter, he sent her to Taiwan, I think, at one time to learn. He said they do provide training and courses. You have to apply. I think it's fully funded. But you have to serve. There's a contract moment, I forgot already. So these are amazing things. Then you can develop a career out of it. And after that is the third mission. Third mission is education, which is very appropriate. Nowadays, without education, you can't go far. You need education. So education come in many forms. Again, it needs the support of generosity and charity. Without the funding, it's not easy to achieve such noble mission. So take for example many areas who have gone through suffering, nature's disasters, destruction and all those things, like the earlier tsunami and earthquake, Wenchuan, and the 2004 earthquake and many other nature's disaster and crisis, where the whole province, the whole village, they were affected, destroyed, schools were all gone. Then they helped to rebuild school, they helped in charity activity. Then even in Indonesia, I saw the video, they did a lot of this charity work and rebuild school until the Indonesian people, they actually express their gratitude, and now they have a very strong network of 慈济 volunteers all over Indonesia itself. Then they have this 大爱台 or TV network on great love established by 慈济. So these are the benefits that come along from all this mission. And the last one is most important, humanistic culture. We not only promote culture, they promote humanistic, means to be a true human being, to have the quality of a human virtue, to really bring about goodness, kindness, wholesomeness, so that everyone can live like a noble human being. We have this human value in us, humanistic culture, humanistic science. We are not animals who simply do things through ignorance and delusion. So when we have humanistic value behind us, we become beautiful human beings. So the promotion of humanistic culture is very important. So that is the last pillar. So when they start to leadership by example, show people that all this can be done, if people pool their resources together, then they volunteer to make all this possible. That's how that organization can become so big, a force to be reckoned. And they are now available on a global scale. Suji has set out, I think, many centers all over the world, and their network is amazingly global in size. That means you can hear of them in almost every continent and many countries. So this is the uniqueness of an organization that arise and run based on Buddhist principles, Buddhist value, the Buddhist teaching, and they can really be very beautiful, and they can bring about a lot of benefits to humanity, to our society, to our environment, to mankind. And they also do recycling work. So recycling has established itself as a major activity, which Suji moved beyond the four pillars. Then they also come out with many new things. They have their Qingshi, I forgot, Qingshi one. Suxian, where they display their books. They have a place very neat, very nicely equipped with aircon, everything. They serve tea and some tidbits or some food, simple one. For people who wants to learn more about the teaching, the organization, the activity, then they have their books. Then they also have their own, what they call, they sell all these things to derive some form of income for their own needs. In the sense that Suji is a very unique organization. They don't actually take in your donation for their own food and shelter, medicine and all. They don't. All your donation to Suji as an organization will go towards the relief of suffering, the four mission and all those things. Then they have to find their own support for their own members and all those things. Sometimes they go and help relieve suffering. They have to pay for their own airfare, transport. And they also donate on their own as members, some through pledges and all those things. So there are many things that you see. You can develop the understanding from what they do. They are very clear in the way they separate the accounts and all those things. And whatever you want to offer or donate, you have to make it clear, specify it. Then they will channel it to the appropriate, maybe intent, whatever is intended. But they don't accept pusou gong yang, something like if you want to like donate to support their sangha or this thing, they say no. That one, they will allow the member to do all this product, sell it at their this sushian jingshi, I mean jingshi quan, jingshi quan, where they sell their things. They have a place, quiet place, conducive, like a cafe like that, where you can buy the books, read the books, and even support the things that they sell, so that all this income goes towards their own support to help the sangha and those who need the support. Okay, at least we finished that chapter. So we will move on to the next chapter. The next chapter is applying the Buddha Dhamma in daily life. This one is the one I talked about earlier on. Dhamma in daily life. So it coincides with our title. So chapter 7 talks about applying the Buddha Dharma in daily life. So to apply Dharma in daily life is not easy. First, you must understand the Dhamma, the Buddha Dharma. Not until you understand the Buddha Dharma, you cannot apply them. So this application part is the most important. It is like cultivation, the three phases of Dhamma. Phase one is learning the teaching, the Buddha Dharma. After you have learned them, you have to put them into practice or cultivate. So phase two, cultivation of the Dhamma, is very important. That's when you really put it into cultivation. Then you realize the teaching, the awakening. And through that, you can actually transform yourself. You can become enlightened, liberate your mind, become a blessing to all. Then you can get to live the third phase of Dhamma. The third phase of Dhamma is the most beautiful, live a life of an enlightened being with the Dhamma understanding. And during that phase, you can easily apply the Buddha Dhamma. So third phase of Dhamma is the application part. But sometime in between the second phase of Dhamma leading to the third phase of Dhamma, you can also start applying the Dhamma before you even become enlightened or awakened. When you have understanding, you can straighten your view. Then when you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you can apply the Buddha Dharma. Yeah. So the application of the Buddha Dharma in daily life is a very, very wide field, very wide topic, where you can really develop them with understanding. And when you can really do it, it will give rise to great result. Then you will be a great blessing to all, not only to your own karma nature. It will also extend to the world, to society, to the collective consciousness. Wherever you are, you become a blessing to all. So I will read on so that we can develop the understanding together. The Buddha Dharma is inseparable from everything in this world. This is very true, because everything is Dhamma. What is Dhamma? Dhamma is truth. So whatever that arises is the reality. It's guided by nature's law. This is the truth. This is the reality. This is what is suchness. Like the Buddha said, condition like that, things be like that. It has to be that way. So the Buddha Dharma is inseparable from everything in this world, where it's related to the truth. If everyone acts according to ultimate unconditional love, the purest, most correct principle, then they are cultivating the Buddha Dharma. They use the word practicing. You understand the meaning is the same. But a better word should be, they are cultivating the Buddha Dharma. The Buddha Dharma is not simple, it's not simply a religious belief, but the ideal balance of philosophy, science and literature, creating the course of a perfect education. So this is the way the author defined their understanding of the Buddha Dharma. So the Buddha Dharma, as we understand, is the truth proclaimed by the Buddha through his enlightenment, realization, cultivation and perfection. So this one is nature's truth. The nature's law, the universal order that governs life and existence, which the Buddha realized, and from there his teaching come about, spin off from there. But to put in our scientific term, I think Suji has modified it and used this. The first thing that they want you to understand is this teaching, the Buddha Dharma, is not simply a belief, a religious belief, where you believe in something. No. This one is based on nature's truth. No need to believe. Here it stands up to investigation. Then he tried to mix the what they call scientific term so that it can give you a clearer picture of what this teaching is. He said it is not simply a religious belief, but an ideal balance of philosophy, science, and literature, creating the course of a perfect education. So this is the author's way of explaining. But for those who understand the Dhamma, we know the Buddha's teaching, which is way beyond all this so-called technical understanding. It was spiritual understanding too. So that spiritual aspect of the universal order are more important, and they are very complete, encompasses all of life, both the mundane and supramundane. Then they continue, they say, therefore, the author hoped that each Suji volunteer will not simply recite and reveal the sutta, but actually put the sutta into action as well. This is very important. You don't become like a parrot, study the teaching or sutta by heart, like a parrot, then parroting it or reciting it, just as knowledge to impress people. But knowledge is not wisdom. It cannot liberate your mind. It cannot bring about transformation. It cannot help people. It cannot help society. It cannot transform your own character, your own personality, and understanding of life. So if you study it as a knowledge or scholastic approach towards the Buddha Dharma, then it won't serve you. Because this teaching is not for knowledge-wise. This teaching is to develop wisdom, understanding, awakening, so that you are no longer deluded. So that you can root out your self-delusion, your ignorance, thereby transforming your understanding to make you a blessing to all. Both to society and mankind. Then we read on. The Buddhist scripture we have now were compiled after the Buddha Parinibbana. Several hundred years later, they gradually spread to the world. After they were translated and edited, the word may have changed from what the Buddha has originally said. Compounded by changes across time and space, and different interpretation by venerable masters and sages through the generations, the Buddhist scripture seems to have become too profound and difficult for people to understand. Actually, the Buddha expounded the Dhamma with all kinds of skillful means to address people's different life situation. Therefore, whichever principle is appropriate for dealing with matter and interactions is the truth. If it is not applicable, how can it be called a principle? In other words, if we are in harmony with people and matter, then we are in harmony with the principles. As we live in this modern era, we must teach people to follow the rules of conduct that are appropriate to our time. For instance, during the Buddha's time, his disciple ate only one meal a day and slept under the tree. In today's environment, it would certainly be hard to do so. So this is the author's way of seeing it. Huh? Then she continued, I have said, only when we have perfected our character can we achieve Buddhahood. For this reason, we must apply the Dhamma in our daily life, daily living, and spread it to the world so that all people can apply it in their daily life. Only then can we maximize our life's value and walk in the right direction. So this one is very true. Only when we have perfected our character and the Dhamma understanding, otherwise you can't. Okay, so application of the Dhamma in our daily living is very important. Some people think learning Buddhism means engaging in sitting meditation. Actually, being able to remain calm in a noisy and bustling environment is true cultivation. And this one is very true. You cannot be peaceful in the midst of activity, noise, and disturbance means you have not cultivated stable enough or well enough. So in Dhamma term, your Kung Fu is not up to the level yet. Your foundation of the teaching, the understanding of the teaching is not up to the mark yet. It's only when you have really developed the ability to understand the Buddha Dhamma and to cultivate it until it becomes part of your character, your personality, until your understanding is very stable. And when you are able to do that, you become different. By then, you will have the ability to be peaceful or remain calm in the midst of activity, in the midst of bustling environment or whatever. Even in noisy environment, difficult situation and environment. So this is the important aspect you need to develop as understanding. How do we keep our mind tranquil when we live in an ever-changing and unsettling environment? So this environment of modern society, as we all know, can be very hectic, at times very stressful, very traumatic too. So it's not easy to maintain the peace and the calm. So the question is, how do we keep our mind tranquil, peaceful, with the joy and the understanding when we live our life in an ever-changing and challenging environment? In learning the Buddha's way, we must keep our mind and live in accordance with the Dhamma to be able to realize the truth of all things at all times. Means develop the understanding, the awakening to live the Dhamma way. So this part is very useful. I read to you again the last sentence. In learning the Buddha's way, we must keep our mind and live in accordance with the Dhamma to be able to realize the truth of all things at all times. For example, walking, standing, sitting, and lying down are all practices of spiritual cultivation. So for those who understand the teaching, they will know these are the four postures That's the reason why the Buddha teach the four foundations of mindfulness. So under the first foundation of mindfulness, you have to establish or develop mindfulness of the four postures. That's why whether you are sitting, standing, or lying down or walking, you must maintain mindfulness. Actually, being able to remain calm in a noisy and bustling environment is true cultivation. This one we have gone through. How do we keep our mind tranquil when we live in an ever-changing and unsettling environment, challenging environment? In learning the Buddha Dharma or the Buddha's way, we must keep our mind and life in accordance with the Dharma to be able to realize the truth of all things at all times. This one is the most important, to develop the wisdom, the understanding, to awaken. So, development of meditation is about heedfulness. So to be heedful, you need to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. So here, the first teaching is it, for example, walking, standing, sitting, and lying down are all practices of spiritual cultivation, which is very true. When you are mindful and aware, you are developing the meditation, the cultivation. Everything can be practice of mindfulness. All are opportunity for us to engage in mindfulness at all time, at any time, in any place. The wondrous Dhamma will always be at your fingertip as long as we are mindful. So here it shows the quality of mind that you need to cultivate is mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Although here the author didn't explain clear enough or deep enough. But for us, we have gone through the cultivation, we will know. So mindfulness is most important. You need to be ever mindful. Not only mindful, stabilize it, then make it ever mindful. Then after that, use it to cultivate noble eightfold path, the meditation as taught by the Buddha, so that we can actually develop the understanding. And then when you combine the two, ever mindful, constantly meditative, we become heedful. And heedfulness is the most important according to the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 21, 22 and 23, verses on apamada or heedfulness. The Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead, the heedful are as if dead. So if you are not mindful, you are not aware, you are not heedful, you don't stand a chance. Spiritually, you are as if dead. So the emphasis on mindfulness leading to heedfulness is most important. Then learning the Dhamma is not only about chanting sutta and expounding Buddhist scripture. It is to actually put the how come? Like not connected. Oh, sutra. Okay, correct that. They break into two words. The sutra into action means put it into practice of cultivation. After thoroughly understanding their teaching, like what I explained just now. Phase one of Dhamma is to develop the understanding of the teaching. And second phase is patipatti, putting it into practice or cultivation. Only then can we truly propagate the Buddha's spirit of loving kindness, compassion, joy, and selfless giving. Suji, for example, does charity work, build hospitals, construct schools to meet the needs of society. By doing so, we widely open the door of Buddhism in hope that everyone can learn the teaching of the Buddha. Even through doing good deeds and by dealing with holy affairs as part of their practice, they will realize the Dhamma wisdom. So this is their way, huh? Compassion in action. So they go down to the ground, they witness suffering, then they develop compassion and gratitude to help people. Then they develop all the things that they need to do to assist them to bring about release suffering. Then the formation gets to support whatever activity they do to benefit society, to benefit humanity and those affected. The third school of Buddhism was established to spread the teaching of the Buddha. We must work hard to apply the Buddha Dhamma in daily life and engage in worldly affairs with a world transcending spirits to serve all beings. Only then will we not waste this extraordinary karmic condition for having been born in this human realm. So this one is very true. For us to be born in this human realm, you must have great virtue, because according to the teaching, rare is it to be born as a human being. And go to this. So according to the Buddha, rare indeed is to have the condition to be born as a human being. The odds are very, very low. Then the Mahayana give a lot of emphasis on this. They always say, "Zhen shen nan de," means the human form is difficult to have. Then fo fa nan wen, the real Buddha Dharma is very difficult to come upon, to encounter. Then it somehow continue. Zhen shen nan de jing yi de, fo fa nan wen jing yi wen. If both also you have the condition to receive them, to be born a human being, to have the condition to realize the true teaching, this is great blessing. It's very rare that you have such condition. So a lot of us, among our kayamitas, almost all of us, we have this condition. So you must hold on to this understanding. Then we must thank our great good karma or past affinity with the Triple Gem to have such condition to be born during the Buddha Sasana as a human being to cultivate this teaching. So such golden opportunity or window is very rare, very, very rare. And now that you have the condition, do not waste it. Go all out. If I were you, my advice is go all out to cultivate it and to realize it, or to plan the constant condition for this understanding to be with you through the Bodhisattva vow that I have taught you, so that whenever you arise, whether you choose to come or you have to come, you will have this understanding, and then you are safe. So the vow has to be very firm. The vow has to be very sincere. And you must do it with great faith, sincerity, and understanding. Then you just persevere to realize it. Then the way will be there. Everything will unfold in front of you. So today's topic is very useful. Applying the Buddha Dhamma. So when you know how to apply, it will help you. Help your karmic nature, help your future life, and also help you to develop great blessing, great wholesomeness. Then you can be not only a blessing to all, you can be a leadership by example. When you do all this to help the world, to help humanity, to help society and the environment. People will learn from you, then they also will develop the gratitude, the love, the compassion, and the correct way to move forward. Because whatever they received from your kindness, your generosity, your wholesomeness, they will develop gratitude. Then when they understand this teaching, they cultivate, they themselves realize and benefit from it, their life change, then they will be able to continue that tradition to serve, and it's their time to help and contribute back to society, to humanity. That's how this understanding can help humanity in a great way, can help our world to change for the better, to evolve. So all this can be very beautiful if you can develop the understanding. So I find Tsuchi is one of the very good organizations that has done very well. But there are also other Buddhist organization and tradition who play different role to develop different success for the world. Tsuchi is mainly compassion in action, and their work, their activity has contributed to a lot of suffering relief and help the world. It is an organization that has grown globally. Then there are also other established Buddhist organization and tradition. Not only Tsuchi, you look at Fo Quang San. Fo Quang San, I think singing, also, he also great a lot, did a lot of great work. And their organization is also global, very well established, their temples. They are foremost in Buddhist education, and they have done a lot of charity too. They organize a lot of what they call Buddhist activity along the specialty of Buddhist education. They train many good Buddhist monks who wants to develop the understanding of the Buddhist education. And they have very systematic, well-established temple all over the world where you can go and develop all this understanding. And of course, they also have the normal type of meditation, cultivation, principles, charity, and all this thing. We also have one spiritual trip, I think, to Taiwan that was many years back, where we visited all the five great traditions of Buddhism that were well known at that time in Taiwan. I remember one of them was Tsuchi, and the other one was Fo Quang, Fo Quang San. We visited their temple in Kaohsiung. And we also visited this Fa Ku San. Fa Ku San is also another great Buddhist institution where their forte or their specialty is in meditation, the teaching, development of meditative understanding, cultivation. Then there is another one. Zhong Tai Chan Si, I think. We also visited that one. That one also has great specialty. The abbot that time, almost 100 years old, I remember. And we visited the place. It was a very big, established building, covering big area. Then we managed to even go up to the main, they call it the main shrine, I think, with many levels. They were so meticulously constructed, developed. The interior part is very beautiful. Then they have all those very beautiful teachings, carving and all those things. And this particular tradition, they want to develop the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. Their forte is, their specialty is to get more and more people to plant the seed of Bodhi, to walk the path of the Bodhisattva way, to become Sama Sambuddha. And their mission statement is very beautiful. That's why all these are very great tradition. They play a great role. And it seems their center is so famous. Every year, millions of visitors, but now COVID-19, I don't know. Maybe this year they cannot achieve. So in the early years, when they were just established, a lot of people visited that place. So these are the things that you can learn, develop the understanding. Then the best is to learn from all this tradition. Then you become complete. You become holistic. So initially, maybe you want to develop cultivation. You go to Pho Quang, study the Buddhist education first. Then after that, you put it into practice. You go and develop meditation through Fa Ku San. Then after that, you go to Ji to join the activity with the understanding, to develop compassion in action. Then finally, when you have the condition, go to Chong Tai Chan Si to take the vow to walk the Bodhisattva way. Then you are complete. Then you have all the understanding, which are very beautiful. So these are very, very important understanding, so that your cultivation can be complete. So do not be foolish to divide all this. Take side. Oh, I am from Ziji. I am from Pho Quang. Then if you start to divide through division, you will cease to have the understanding of the full role of all this institution or all this established organization. They play their role, and together they form a complete full picture of what the world needs. So all this understanding, when we start to understand them, then we have gratitude, we have joy, we can fit into any of this tradition, any of this organization. It's not a problem at all. We are ultimately is the Buddha Dharma. When you have the Buddha Dharma, you have the understanding of everything that the true religious organization do. They are the basis for wholesomeness, development of understanding, wisdom, to liberate the mind, to be a blessing to all. So all this virtue, wisdom and understanding, they will fall into place. They will come by very handy and very useful. Okay, now it's 4:05. Maybe we can have our meditation. We'll have about 45 minutes of silent awareness-based meditation. Then after that, we will have our final sharing. The final sharing of the second part is Dhamma in daily life. You can report your meditation or speak on any particular topic of Dhamma that you have developed the understanding and put it into practice and share your understanding. And you can also maybe speak on them or ask any question. So the next session of the meditation will be a very interesting topic. Then we will continue from the sharing to allow more and more people to express themselves. Through expressing yourself, you learn. Then you stabilize your understanding. Then you can really have the condition to develop the cultivation, means Dhamma in daily life. Otherwise, you develop the understanding of the teaching, you don't put it into practice or cultivation, you don't live it, it doesn't help you, it doesn't help others too. So this particular topic, Dhamma in daily life, is very appropriate, very apt. Okay, we are off the light now. Then I will set the alarm for 45 minutes. You can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Then after that, I will ring the bell 3 times. Upon hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Remember the 4 supports. Relax, maintain awareness. Whatever happens, relax. Don't panic, don't fight, don't suppress, don't control. Just relax body and mind at ease, silent everything. Then maintain awareness until the mind settles down and become very calm, very peaceful. Until the mind returns to its original state of tranquility, stillness, the true mind, before the mundane mind arises, before the stirring of the mind. Before you arise the thought. Okay. So relax and maintain awareness is the first 2 supports. The third one is continuity of awareness. If possible, whenever you are conscious or awake. And later on, even into the unconscious, means 24-hour mindfulness. So that is the 3rd support. The 4th one is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. These are for people who has developed the stability of the first 3 supports. Then you can do the 4th one. Normally the 4th one is to have the understanding to trust your nature to do the meditation. There is no more interference from the thought. The thought no longer arises to direct it or to question and do all those funny things. The thought cannot understand, cannot awaken. Thought is limited. Thought is respond to memory. To awaken, you need the silent mind. So relax, maintain awareness, silent, stabilize the true mind, that nature, that awareness nature within. Then you will develop understanding. Then your mind can meditate. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come on the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to develop the stability of your daily mindfulness. Okay, now we will continue with our 2nd session, which is meditation reporting, followed by our Dhamma discussion.
Radio，yes，Alicia，yes，
可以
了。讲，那我就讲我一点点的。
可以。
Understanding on
Dhamma in daily life。
对 ，Dhamma in daily life。去年开始我就开始种莲花。OK。
Yes。
So 我的莲花在去年的就是7月开始就一直有在开莲花。
Okay.
So, but 过了12月份它就不再开花了。 So until recently, 我才知道原来它下面长满那个莲藕。
Okay,
so 那个莲藕我就把它 remove 挖出来吃掉啊。So after that, 那个莲花又嘣嘣嘣嘣又再开，又再长回了，最近一直开花了。
Okay, so
actually 我想讲的是，因为这个莲花，我做完之后我就没太多的想法，就是就走着去，要准备prepare for 去上班的时候，他就是有一个understanding， 就是说，莲花就代表智慧。然后那个 root 呢，就是我们的 root of all the defilement。如果我们不把它除掉嘞，那个智慧不会长出来。然后就我的里面心里面就 like full of joy， you know， I was in tears。就是这个小小的一个 experience 在 daily。其实因为起初我没太多的想法，因为莲花每个人都是说，莲花出污泥而不染呢。可是那个另外深一层的，原来可以很多很多的达玛的，对。
It can give rise to a lot of dhamma understanding. Just by observing the lotus plant.
Within
the lotus pond. Sadhu.
就是这样子啦。Thank you very much.
Thank you for the good sharing. So for those who may not understand Mandarin, maybe I explain a bit, especially for PG. So according to Sister Alicia, is that since nobody wanted to report meditation or share their understanding, she will try to share one simple Dhamma which she observed. She has been planting this lotus flower since last year. And it started to flower in July last year. Then it continued until October. After October, it seems it doesn't flower. So she was trying to find out why it doesn't flower. Then she realized it because a lot of lotus root has already been formed down there. That's why the lotus didn't flower anymore. So she decided to clean up the lotus root, take them out and cook them, and also use them for her own consumption. Then after that, she realized the lotus plant starts to flower again. Then the lotus flower again. So lotus is a very good symbol for the Buddhist Mahayana tradition. So lotus symbolize the enlightenment. The lotus pond, as we all know, is like samsara, filthy. So from the lotus pond, the lotus plant actually develops the condition for it to rise above the filthy pond, above the water. Then the lotus flower, when the flower is above the filthy pond. So even though that purity that the lotus flower denote is like the fruition of your cultivation, from the lotus pond you arise. Beyond the lotus pond, you surface and flower. So enlightenment is the same. You can have this understanding, the wisdom, and yet the form and mind, which is like the lotus plant, is still within the lotus pond. So with this wisdom, your understanding, you can stand above. You need not be affected by the feel of the lotus pond. And the other thing that she observed, which is a very good way of observation, is when you want to develop the flowering of the lotus, you need to root out the evil roots, the root of all evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So she had a lot of joy when she came to realize that after she removed the lotus roots, then clean up the pond, then the lotus starts to flower again. So there was a small sharing that she said she would like to share with us. So this is very good. And so it's part of Dhamma in daily life, where you can encounter Dhamma in the midst of planting lotus seed that give rise to lotus flower. Actually, it's not easy to successfully plant lotus plant or take care of your garden. You must have the love, the green hand. My mother used to talk to the plant, and surprisingly, because she has this green hand and love, so the plant really become very healthy. She plant flowers, chili on my small plot in my house, my terrace house. Very small plot, I remember. 1 feet at the edge last time. She planted so much veggie, chili, everything so healthy. Then later on, after she went back to Alastair, because after looking after my children for about 10 over years, she decided to go back because they all big enough to take care of themselves already. Then my wife wanted to continue. Then she realized the planting was not easy. Cannot initially fail. Can't plant like my brother. But later on, she developed the skill. Now she has her own mini, we call it a mini garden or mini forest. So now her plants are very healthy. So my wife also learned. So there is Dhamma in everything. As she developed the interest in taking care of the plant, because it gives oxygen to the environment. So that is helping the environment. And certain type of plant, like they call it one, the grandmother's tongue, give rise to a lot of oxygen. Then also, there's a lot of thing about these plants. When you really have the understanding, you water them, you look after them, you give them the care, you know, they actually respond very well. Then you think of them when you are away. He asked the sister to come and help water the plant. So all this actually help. Then the plant is very beautiful. You really can develop the understanding, because this plant needs condition for it to survive, to arise. Then when it grows too big, when the wind is strong, the weather and all those things, sometimes the big plant, the pots are too small, not able to hold them. They actually fall off, get blown off. Then my wife learned she need to reset, either trim down the plant or buy a bigger pot and transport them and transfer them from a smaller pot to a bigger pot, which she do quite often. And she always asked me to bring her to the underneath the TNB pylon. They have a lot of these landscape people who occupy the land down there, and they sell the plants, they sell the earth and all those things. So I used to take her there to buy all this, and I started seeing her doing all these things. So when you understand that you have the interest, you not only develop wholesomeness and synergy, you can see how beautiful nature is. Dhamma is everywhere. when you take care, when you have love, you become very healthy. Then when the weather are conducive, the plant actually play their role too. They give rise to photosynthesis. They take in the sunlight, the carbon dioxide, and they, through photosynthesis, give out oxygen. It helps replenish the environment with healthy oxygenated air. Then it also beautifies your garden, your place. Then the vibration, the energy, everything is also very conducive when you understand. So when you take care of nature, nature take care of the environment, take care of you. And when you have love, nature responds with love. So all this you can learn, you can observe, you can see. Then Dhamma becomes meaningful. That's the reason why Dhamma is everywhere. For those who see, they always see. So this is also one aspect that you can learn. The other benefit is she get to exercise herself, and that will give her the proper help. Because when you do the planting, it's not easy. You have to water the plants. You have to move the plants. Then you have to spend time cleaning up the place and all those things. Then she developed strong muscles in her hand. Then bodily activity and exercise. So all these are very useful for her to maintain her daily routine, build up her health and all those things. Her hand muscles are stronger than mine. She always teases me, say, I got no muscle. But I sort of do hard labor. I only help out in a very small way. Okay? So this is one of the small sharing by Alicia and also by me to what I observe from what my wife do and what my mother do. So these are Dhamma where you can learn. Learn to appreciate what you see. Have gratitude, have contentment, have virtue. When you have Dhamma, you can have all these things. So this is what cultivation is all about. Then there is understanding, there is love, there is virtue, there is contentment. Then you can learn from life. Everything is like a teacher to you. Learn the great loving kindness from nature. Learn to be patient from nature. Nature always give and give, they never take. Nature is very patient. Rain or shine, he endure. He never complain. Then, like my teacher say, you have the four seasons. The trees, the plant, they will shed their leaves when conditions are harsh in the autumn. Then hibernate through the winter. Then, when the condition is conducive, flower again in the spring. Then you have your beautiful spring and summer. So all this Adama. Okay, who is next? Alicia can nominate somebody. Alicia, you can nominate somebody to share.
Can I nominate Karen?
Karen, yes. Karen, are you there?
Yes, it's Brazil. Good afternoon. Okay, I'll first say I'll share some very weird experience. I feel, as I sometimes we live in both worlds, in the Dhamma, in the mundane life and also the spiritual life.
Yeah,
we live in both worlds. So sometimes when I go out, my friends, they talk about those mundane friends. They will talk about their family and talk about their in-laws, you know.
Yes, then, this is very common, yes.
So sometimes I don't automatically act like mundane people. I join them and talk, you know. Yeah. And then I feel there's a voice coming out, like a voice laughing at me, like just giggling and laughing at me, like that.
Oh. why do they do that? Do you know?
That's why if you cultivate, you know, you may have this sort of experience, right, Brother Yasinathio?
Depend, because when you understand the cultivation, you can echo and flow. You can behave like normal. For my case, I don't have such problem, because for my case, it's like most of these people don't know me, and they think they never have any idea that I am spiritual and honestly, because they are my classmate and my friend, and they don't know that I'm in the spiritual field. Then I can mix along very well with them. I sometimes share the joke and even talk to them like normal people. But people who know me, especially those who learn Dhamma from me and know my cultivation and play nature, they tend to have this tendency to respect me, and they're very scared to talk to me. Anyway, that's the only thing. But for normal people, even for some of my later on friends or classmates who knows I teach meditation and all those things, they still respect me. But when we meet, we still interact like normal. Then there is no such thing like they look at you like very weird and all say, I don't have such problem. Maybe for your case, in the beginning, I think you as cultivator, you will experience that. Well, I realize there is a tendency of cultivator to behave like, since they are cultivator, yeah? So they don't like to talk mundane things. They like want to be different, so maybe that's how they feel about you, and they start to have those comments towards you.
No, Brazil, they don't comment me. My own mind laugh at me.
Your own mind laugh at you. Oh, that is okay. That's so bad. Means your friend, who talks about the mundane thing, do they see anything abnormal about you?
Yes, some say I change a lot.
Oh, change a lot is good. That one is good. Man, change a lot in the sense that you are not heedless like before, simply say things and all those things, which is good sign. Change for the better.
Yes, but I just noticed that my own mind, it's another mind, like, laughing at me, like that, you know.
Oh, it's actually not another mind, it's the same mundane mind. You see, when you are more mindful and aware, you tend to have this ability to see that mundane mind. Yeah? Keep on doing all those things. Yeah? Shifting from one role to another role. Yeah? Like that. Personality change, then it try to sometimes we call it verbalize, then sometimes it chatter, then sometimes it command, it interpret, it give meaning. So you start to see it's not really another mind, it's still the mundane mind. Through is habitual tendency that you have not rooted out. But once the habitual tendency slowly, when you have the wisdom and the understanding, once it's rooted out, you realize the mind become very quiet. And it's seldom think. You only think and reflect and contemplate when there is a need to think, a need to arise. Otherwise, it's very quiet, very peaceful. You must go through that phase. So initially, it's okay for you to see that. Like your daughter also, Tammy also used to tell me, that there's another mind behind the mind. It's not another mind, it's the mundane mind. It's the mundane mind that arise and create all these things. So if you were to observe, silent. When you are silent, that Monday mind is quiet. But you have to silent until very stable to stabilize the awareness nature inside. Then only you can have a clear understanding of what the awareness nature is. The awareness nature is very important. Once you are able to stay with that and understand that you have a nature which is independent of the mundane thinking or the thought process, that one can observe and see and understand how the mundane mind moves, create all the delusion, attachment, clinging, grasping, holding, then stir the mind, create emotion, arise fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So all these are attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your envy, your jealousy. So learn to see them. When you are aware of them, then you realize all these are dependent originating mind state. So this dependent originating mind state, they are not intrinsic within your true mind. They are dependent originating. They arise because of your wrong view, wrong thought. So wrong view that condition wrong thought. Wrong thought that condition your mental hindrance, your emotion, your selfishness, your sorrow, your lamentation, your fear, and all those things. So that is meditation. So learn to see that. Yeah? It's not another mind, it's still the same mundane mind. So when you are silent, more and more silent, you start to understand more. These are the phases you will go through, I believe, because for me, I don't have that situation because I skim through all this understanding very fast. Maybe it's from my past cultivation. I don't have such situation or problem. I saw, I understand, I saw, I understand that I move very fast, I realize. Yeah. So for you, maybe it's your condition at that time. Huh? So now it's for you to see them. Yeah? Then develop more understanding. Mm. You can continue with your sharing. Huh? Maybe there are more. Mm.
Yeah. I think cultivation, I'm more aware of every mind state. You know, then Brazil, can you please explain more on the unconditioned?
The unconditioned, you cannot talk about it because it is nothing to do with the conditioned world. The unconditioned need to be realized. Because the unconditioned means there is no senses involved. There is no mundane mind involved. There is no consciousness involved. Because unconditioned means there is no condition at all on itself. There is
awareness.
No, even that awareness itself is part of the unconditioned. But the moment the thinking or the area of mind come out, that one create condition, understand? The ignorance that stir the mind and create the mundane thinking, those are conditioned. So before anything come out, that nature is the unconditioned. And the unconditioned, you cannot talk about it because there is nothing to describe. There is no condition at all. It's just that nature. The knowing of that nature is a thought by itself. But when it's just aware, inside there, before the arising of thought and knowing, that reality is the unconditioned. So the unconditioned cannot be described, cannot be talked about. That's the reason why I share with you all. This nature, the awareness nature, your true mind, your true nature, it cannot come out and live life, understand? It's not a being. It's a nature, and that nature can only arise when your thought cease. You can only realize it when there is no more thinking. Yeah, that is the first thing that come out from your oneness nature, aware. And that is the unconditioned. It just had that ability to be aware. Finish. The moment you question aware of what is the thought really. Whatever is aware of is the perception of it, the mundane mind really. That's why awareness is, mindfulness is awareness before the knowing, before the arising of the thought. So just meditate, relax, maintain awareness, silent, develop the wisdom. Then when the time comes, the cessation will arise. Then you will understand what the unconditioned is. The form and mind that is connected will have the understanding. But before the cessation arrives, you can stay with your true mind, your awareness nature, long enough. You can also develop the understanding. But when you develop the understanding, means you have to describe it to the thought process, the mundane mind. Then that nature itself has no word, no name, because there is no thought involved. No thought means what? No concept, no idea, no duality. Means no wrong thought, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, and nothing. It's just that pure nature. But that one can awaken insight into phenomena, develop understanding. And that is the unique part of it. Okay, can you follow? Yeah, Karen.
Yes, Brazil, thank you very much. You're doing very well already.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Brazil.
Yeah, because of your condition. Okay, that's very good. So do you have anything else that you want to ask or share? Dhamma in daily life.
Like sometimes, you know what, when I really plan to do anything, you know, plan them with a lot of attention and all that to plan and thinking I'm very busy and occupied. But surprisingly, sometimes some of these things work out so nice, you know, without me need to worry anything, you know. So it's really quite very surprising, you know. So
that is very good. Because now you can plan and just go about doing it efficiently. Like what Pocheng gone through is very good. You can maintain understanding mindfulness. You just do. When you just do, you don't project your thought. You don't create fear. You don't worry. That is slowly, slowly transforming yourself into heedful living. Heedful living means you live life with a heedful mind. No more projection of thought to arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the unhappiness, the like and dislike. So all this mind state, they will start to like disappear or become less and less. So that's how the daily life transforms. From heedless way of living, you transform and change over to a more and more heedful way, like you experience. You don't have to worry about things. You realize all this fear, worry, anxiety won't help you. What is important is have clarity of mind to just do. Do what you have to do within that moment with mindfulness, with awareness, with joy, with understanding. Then develop more and more right view to accept the moment. The reality within the moment. Every moment is very pristine and beautiful. Where there is the reality. The reality is, truth is, like the Buddha said, conditioned like that, things will be like that, cannot be otherwise. So these are the wisdom, the right view and the right understanding that can bring about that transformation. And you slowly will develop it. So what you have gone through is just maybe the beginning of it. You realize you have less problem. You worry less. You don't have to like become the old Karen that has a lot of anxiety, excitement, or fear, worry, anxiety. No more. There, all those mind states are negative. Mind state, born of wrong thought, wrong view, that develop all the negativity of mind state, which are not conducive for cultivation. They are not noble eightfold path factors. They are all heedless thinking, wrong thought, that condition negativity. So you're supposed to train your mind, develop the four right effort to root them out, to abandon them, to prevent them from arising. So all this need cultivation. The Avijja Sutta, the first five steps, you need to go through them. Okay? That's good. Thank you. So who else? Anybody else who wants to report meditation or share on the topic Dhamma in daily life? Anybody? We still have almost 25 minutes. Otherwise, I ask Karen to nominate. Karen, you can nominate somebody. Anyone?
I nominate somebody new. Sumita.
Sumita. Okay. Sumita, are you there? Yeah, thank you. Envy, yeah. Sadhu, Envy come in, yeah. Oh, Sumita is Envy, yeah. Sadhu. Yeah, Envy, yes.
And is my voice clear, Matthew?
Yeah, very clear. Just now, Karen one got some distortion, but yours is very clear, yes.
Okay, actually, I forgot to change the name when I log in.
Oh, no problem. Oh, this is your Pali name. Oh, Sadhu, now we know. Oh, Sumita.
Because,
who is good, huh? Mita is friend, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is the meaning of Sumita? Good friend. Good Dhamma friends.
Happy friend, I think.
Happy friend, yes. Yeah, it's a good name. My daughter, the Achayantra, gave her this name also. Sunari. Su is good, he told me. Sunari.
anyway.
But sometimes this type of name is actually meant to be, and you will see is significant. There's sometimes they give name based on the person who give, they can feel or sense your character. Then they give it to you. And these are the people that give you very good name. I remember there was one monk. When I met him in the late 80s and coming to 90s, he can know that I am different now. After interacting with me, I also took him to a few places. Then after talking to me, I think he know I'm different. Then he keep on telling me, I give you a name. And my nature don't like people to give me name. Well, Achayantra also know, he never give me name. And I also didn't have to ask because I know what my nature is. But this monk keep on telling me, I give you a name. Four, five times. Then one day I got no choice. I said, okay. Whatever name you want to give, you give. You know what name he gave me? Kemaviro. Then when I reflect on the word, I say, how he come out with this name? You know what is Kema, isn't it? Liberation, understand? Viro is hero. No? Hero liberation. No? Oh, I look at him. I say, Sadhu. But I never use it. We don't need it. But he can come up with that type of name. No? Because when I sponsor half of his airfare, there another colleague sponsor the other half to visit my teacher Achayantra in Australia, the Katina that year. He was with me. And he also a Thai monk. Then I think he saw when I was there, I was totally different. Totally different. Then on the fifth day, he keep on asking me. He said, Pratyo, something happened to you. Something happened to you. I just smiled. I read it. a radiant smile, and I just rejoice. I was silent throughout that retreat. I seldom talk. I only talk when there is a need. And he has seen. And Ajayan Rao also know. Yeah. So sometimes, despite our name, there is a condition for it, which is good. Eh? Sadhu to you, Sumita. Okay. Now you share. You share.
It was given to me when I first joined the Samaneri program.
Oh, okay.
No one called.
Oh, okay.
Given by either Ayah Sumangala or Bante Dhammapala. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who gave it.
Sadhu. Then you can share now. English. Yeah.
Maybe I would like to share this. I think three, four weeks ago, I received a call from someone, a close one. That someone wanted to know more about this chanting phrases, the chanting verses.
Yes.
So when he asked question and at the same time commented with his own perception, with his own concept.
Yeah.
The agitated feeling already came up. So
you can feel that your mindfulness is there, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. What Brother Dio always taught is
accept them for what they are.
Accept people for what they are. So immediately when this thing come into my mind, so the feeling
of it,
that
is Yoniso Manasikara, the thing that prompted you. This is the initial wisdom that will arise when you are faced with a situation. That's why you don't go to memory and recall. That understanding straight away come out. Then you know what to do. Then how you feel? Straight away the thing like subside. Very good.
The understanding, while he is still talking, the understanding come to my mind is that when he hold that type of
views,
hold that type of belief,
he will
definitely come up with that type of ideas.
Idea, yes.
Yeah. His idea is like that. So I said, never mind, let him tell me what he wanted to know about and then and willingly I have no more agitation about that comment.
Very good. That's how you slowly learn and transform. This is Dhamma in daily life. You can only encounter this when you live life, interact with people. Otherwise there is no condition. Because when you are alone, you cannot have condition. That's why you need relationship, you need interaction. And then how people actually react or say certain things, that's the reason why Master Shenhua also learned. He said, difficult people or very negative tendency type of people, they are your good teacher, good knowing advisor. They can teach you a lot of Dhamma. Because these are the people can test you and make you go through that type of test. You cannot tolerate this type of people or you cannot accept them, then you start to react and get angry or emotional, you will end up arguing. You will end up become very disturbed. Then initially I remember, after you go through all this, let's say later on, I don't know for your case how, you try to explain to him, but he doesn't want to listen. He continued his way. Then after the thing finished already, even you can accept him for what he is, you will start to realize after the discussion over, when you go back, on the way back while driving, or if it's in your house after he left you, your thought will arise on. Then you will ask, why this guy like that? How come he cannot understand? How come he cannot accept? Initially, the train of thought will still come out. Then later on, you will understand Sankara Anicjang, Sankara Dukkang. Finish. He is the way he is. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Just let it be. But sometimes there is another understanding. How can I make people like them understand? Maybe our approach at that time was not refined enough because we cannot go down to his level to have the understanding, explain to him to make him understand. And this skill is not easy. This one, you need a Samasambuddha or somebody highly trained where they have the skill to deal with all this type of various people of different personality. So what I went through was very interesting because later on, after many years, after my understanding and wisdom stabilized, then I realized there are a lot of this type of people. If they come again, I will have the ability to actually see the condition. If there is condition, I will explain. Then most of the time, I will know how to put it in such a way that they will listen. Then I came up with the understanding. It's like when you ask a child to have their meals, lunch or dinner or whatever, they actually don't care. They try to know. They say, okay, but they never come down. Then you cannot do anything. Well, that is the way they are. Then as parents, you know, this boy or this girl, what the hell are they doing? Everything get ready already, don't want to come down and eat as a family. So this type of thing will go on. But then you realize if you were to do this, it doesn't work. So what you need to do is, they are just the way they are. No need to worry. Just let it be. Then if they don't come down, keep all the food. Then after that, they ask for food and go and cook yourself. That is a better way to train themselves. Next time you want to have food, come down early. So during all this time of problem solving, I came up with this understanding because no point trying to explain because they are not listening at all. So I had to cut it off and break it down and just remind them when there is condition, of course. I say, I hope you understand why you come and see me. Because you have a problem. I don't have a problem. Understand? So the understanding is, if you see me, you have a problem, you want to solve your problem, you must listen. Understand? The first thing is, you listen. You don't have to believe me. Listen with your open mind. Then what have you got to lose? Give it a try. If it doesn't work, then forget about it. But if you happen to listen and it benefits you, then use it. That's all. Then after that, I will zero in a more stronger way of knocking them. I say, please remember this. I say, if you continue to live your life the way you are, refusing to change, your future is already cast in stone. Your life will not improve. You are the way you are. Your suffering, your misery, which you told me, they are going to continue. And you become worse and worse. You cannot come out of it. The only way to come out of it is to change. Change with understanding. Change for the better. And find out for yourself. When you change, there's a possibility of improvement to your life. Because what you have doing is clearly not correct. Then I said, your life. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or unhappy is entirely your choice. Why don't you develop the ability to choose wisely? Choose to be happy, not to be miserable and unhappy. But then they start to change. Then they answer differently. Yeah, I know. But, okay, now I listen. Then later on, they will say, you wait. They take out paper or they take out their phone. They want to record. Then they start to change. That is how I went through. Then later on, when my wisdom stabilized, then I know I can deal with people. So nowadays, anyone that comes, unless it's coming obstruction very severe, chances is they will become different. So after they listen, they go back, they become different. And a lot of people change. And after they may talk to me, if without coming off sanction, they really change. And they know this is the person that they can learn a lot of things. So for your case, one, you can continue, Amy. The chanting one. So what happened after that?
After that, what happened was, I just tell him based on what my understanding, based on the dictionary, actually certain words, he asked me the meaning. So I say I better find out from the dictionary. I don't really expert in this Pali. So I take a photo snapshot of the terms in the meaning in English, and then I send over to him. I said,
dictionary
say like that. It's not come from me. It's from the after that, he wanted to ask about the terms, even invitation to Deva, invocation.
Yes.
Also, the person also wanted to know, so I just record my simple chanting and I passed to him. I said, this is not really the perfect chanting. It's just how I was trained, how I was taught. So I just share with you. It's not really right or wrong. I said, you can also do your own tune. It doesn't have
to suit his own.
So I think he has interest in chanting lah. Even though he has this strong belief that certain power in chanting, when times goes by, when he read the meaning in the verses in the sutta or whatever he chants, hopefully he can understand. It's no mystery, no myth. No special power. It's only all from our heart and from our mind. Ourselves steady and stable. So this is the only thing that I thought is actually for my own improvement. When I see the agitation come out in my mind, in my heart,
you can sense it.
So I said, how come so fast I feel?
Immediate one. That is the habitual tendency. Not written out one. It's like that one. Very fast.
I haven't even finished the comment, so I already felt.
The movement. But at least now, with your mindfulness, your sensitivity, your awareness, you realize you does not react. You does not stir. Then you develop understanding through what you have learned. Then that one surface. And when it surface, means wisdom free. Now you start to understand. Nothing free your mind except wisdom. Even you suppress, control, yan, and try not to react, no use on. All those are suppression. But when you have wisdom, he is just the way he is, people is just the way they are, then when you can have the acceptance through the understanding, then you become at peace. Like the Buddha said, condition like that, things will be like that. The reality is the reality. Everything is just the reality within that moment, condition set, things will be like that. So if you don't accept the reality, you want things your way, you will become afflicted. Your mind was, the emotion will start. And this is very real cultivation, because the real cultivation comes from your sensitivity of mindfulness. That's why I say without mindfulness, you cannot cultivate. Because you can't even feel it. When you can't even feel it, you don't know that you already have the evil root. Your mind already reacted, stirred, the emotion already started. Then for normal heedless people, they become more and more angry. The egoic mind starts to develop a lot of chattering inside there. Aiyo, this guy, how can he say things like that? Who the hell he learned from? How? Who teach him this stuff? All these comments were inside there. Then before he finish, you will interject already. But that is the heedless normal people. But when you have the Dhamma, you have the patience to listen. Yeah, he is the way he is. It's like a child doesn't understand. You let them go through the whatever. Then after there is the whole thing over, there is condition to say something to help them understand. And then only you say, if there is no condition, let things be. So all this training is part and parcel of the cultivation. Yeah. So now more and more Kayamita is going through the learning phase, the cultivation phase. That's why this topic, Dhamma in daily life, is very useful. It's really about cultivation, life itself. Very good, Ingvi, Sadhu. Then finally, is there anything else that developed?
Actually, it's more beneficial to me.
Oh, yeah, you learn.
My heart, I felt gratitude to his comment.
Yeah, to his comment for setting the condition for you.
Yeah, I really feel the effect of accept the, what, the sound like the sound.
Accept the reality of the moment. He is what he is.
The reality is, he is like that. Having that comment. So if I accept him, I'm a... I don't have anything.
Yeah, no more enmity, no more reaction. You can accept him for what he is. That's why the acceptance frees your mind. You know, when you can accept means you have the wisdom. He is the way he is. You can be at peace. So ability to be at peace in all situations is wisdom. Then you start to deepen this understanding. Then you realize every situation is the same. It's because of the lack of wisdom to accept the reality of the moment. That's why there are these opinion, views, disagreement. Then when you start to analyze or reason, finish already. Your whole Dhamma gone out the window. Who analyzed? The thought analyzed. Why he like that? Why explain also he cannot understand? That is where the analysis and the reasoning come in. So no amount of analysis and reasoning can give you the wisdom. But this is using the mundane mind to analyze and reason or rationalize. It cannot solve the problem. But he is the way he is. That is the main issue. You cannot accept that whatever you say has no bearing on the situation. He is the way he is. Even you get angry, also no use. And then you start to develop more and more wisdom. Then you start to become different. Whatever people say, very fast, you can come to terms. That's why in the end, I learned. I said, if he wants to be right, I agree. Yeah, you are right. I never lie. Right according to you is not to say right because you have Dhamma or understand. Because if he wants to be right, let him be right. Finish. Then if there is nothing else to discuss, then we can stop the discussion. Yeah, there is no condition to actually benefit him or move on. Then sometimes I develop what I told you skillful means. If I see he has karmic condition to receive certain help or certain teaching, then I will wait for him to calm down, to become like less aggressive, less argumentative. Then I will look at him and say, are you okay? Then I say, maybe we should actually refocus. All this argument, no point, right and wrong, doesn't lead to anything. Because you came here is because you have a problem. You ask for appointment to see me and you believe I can help you. So if that is the case, you should be in a position to listen first. Don't be too argumentative or too keen to tell me what you want to tell me. I understand your situation because you are in such condition. First noble truth reality hit you so hard. That's why you want to justify your position. But you have been doing this for so long. The suffering has been with you for so long. As long as you continue your way, refuse to change, your future is already cast in stone. Means you will continue to have misery, suffering, unhappiness in life. If you want to change and improve your life, you must start willing to listen. Listen, then find out. If you follow the instruction, which is the teaching of the Buddha, not my teaching, then you give it a try, investigate on it. If you do it and doesn't help, then do it your way. But if you give it a try, you are sincere, the answer is there, the solution is there. So normally after I put it back to them, because it's your life, nothing to do with me. Or that one, I realize, I like wake them up. You know? Then they become less argumentative. Then they're willing to listen. And it's not easy to get this type of people to listen because their views are so strong, their coming obstruction is so strong. And I realize not easy unless your wisdom is very high, unless you have the understanding so stable. Then whatever they say, you can corner them and you can easily put it in very simple words and show it to them that there you go again. Your reaction, your whatever, you are not listening. If you are listening, all this conversation is not necessary. Then only they will start to like, you wait, breath you. You take out a notebook, or sometimes they on their phone, you don't mind a recorder. I said, go ahead, record. There was one Kayamita who came, you had asked my wife and my daughter. I think he recorded a 3-hour session. because they have problem with all those things. So good, Amy, salute to you. So you realize you also learn. So that is a good experience. Salute.
Yeah. And then in fact, I do not really tell my opinion back to him.
That was really important.
I thought if I say or try to guide him,
yeah,
I am the one who trying to.
too eager to teach. Yeah.
No point. So I said, I just answer what he wants to know, and then that's all. So it's a telephone conversation. Then it's about 10 minutes or so over already.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you,
Rachel. Thank you so much, Amy, for your sharing. Okay, exactly. 1 more minute to 6, we can end. Thank you so much. So let us rejoice with all the good sharing by Alicia, Karen, and Ingi. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.